I'm going to ask you if you would please take your Bibles, open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Gospel of John, chapter 20. As we open this particular sermon this morning, we want to kind of recount what has taken place. Randy kind of stole my thunder a little bit with his reading, but that's all right. Sunday was coming. And Jesus knew that, but the rest didn't. They didn't quite get it. In spite of the fact that Jesus had talked so often and so many times and so long about the fact that there was going to be a crucifixion. In spite of the fact that Jesus had told them, look, there are going to be those who are going to come and they're going to kill me, but don't worry about it. They can tear this temple down, but I'll rebuild it in 3 days. In spite of the fact that Jesus had declared that the resurrection was going to be reality, in spite of the fact that all of the Old Testament prophets had geared their teachings and their preachings and their writings towards the fact that the Messiah was going to come, that the Messiah would suffer, that the Messiah would die, but that the Messiah would rise again and overcome all evil and overcome all sin, in spite of all of that, they missed it. I don't know how. I wasn't there. You don't know how. You weren't there. But we have the great privilege of being able to look back upon the writings that were brought about that declared that Jesus Christ truly is God. And that a simple little thing like death wasn't going to destroy him. That a simple little thing like the rejection of man was not going to destroy his spirit. The fact that they could take and place him in a grave, that was nothing to Jesus. For the Father was overseeing all that was to transpire. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran, came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, and the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not laid with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, entered then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. She beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around, and behold, Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I've seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Our gracious Lord, please help us. Help us to be able to grip and to grasp what's taking place in this situation. Jesus, help us to realize that you are risen. And help us to realize that as just as you fulfilled that promise in the Old Testament, just as you fulfilled all of those promises in the Old Testament through your life, through your death, through your resurrection, we can then have complete and total confidence in your return. Father, teach us to not be as these who walked with you and yet doubted, but teach us instead to have confidence. You've never lied to man before. There's no need to believe that you'll lie to man now. Jesus, you will come back and take us to be with you if we love you, if we faithfully walk with you, if we honor you, then we have great promise. Now, Lord, open our hearts. Give us that sense of awe. And we'll give you thanks and praise. For it's in Jesus' glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. I believe in my heart of hearts that Satan danced the day that Jesus died. I don't believe that he sat in the corner and cowered. I think that he thought, I've got it now. I've done it. He wasn't able to set up his kingdom on the earth. I took care of that. I don't think Satan had any idea what he had just opened up on himself and his entourage. But instead, at the very thing that we look at as being the most horrible event in the history of all mankind, at the very thing that we look at and we think, oh man, evil is surely going to win. Surely evil is on top of things. In just a moment, in one breath, the enemy was defeated. I have tried to imagine in my mind what took place in that particular grave. And I'll be honest with you, my mind is not wise enough to conceive what took place there. But that body that had laid there dead for 3 days, that body that everybody had given up hope on, that body that everyone thought, oh no, now what in the world are we going to do? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to this new movement that this Jesus got started? Who's going to lead us to freedom? Who's going to lead us in great and powerful ways into a deeper relationship with God? Who's going to lead us into the depths of righteousness? Who? And then suddenly that dead, cold body lying on that dead, cold stone began to move. The heart began to beat. The lungs began to expand. The eyes popped open. Up stood the dead Christ, alive, full of the righteousness of his Father, full of grace, full of love, full of eternal life. Gripped in his hands are the keys of death and hell. Because he had burst through the gates of hell, confronted Satan face to face, and said, "Those are mine. I'm in control. You are done. The party is over, man. And I am the king. I am the Lord." Jesus brought to you and I that very moment hope. He brought available to you and I forgiveness. He brought to you and I the opportunity of cleansing. He brought to you and I life. As that moment happens, Mary, who had been at home, begins her trek. The Sabbath is done. It's over. So she can do the honorable thing now and prepare the body of the one that she had placed so much faith in, so much confidence in. She shows up at the tomb. She's a broken woman. She's grieving. She is one that feels hopeless, feels helpless, but she still wants to do the honorable thing. She wants to prepare this body for burial. And things darken even more when she gets to the graveside. She sees the stone rolled away. And as she sees the stone rolled away, she pokes her head in. He's gone. He's gone. The depths of grief turn then to the depths of despair. He's gone. And I'm sure that running through her mind at that moment was, you know, what they would do sometimes with homeless people or indigenous people that really were foreigners or whatever. They would take their bodies to the garbage dump. They would throw the bodies in the garbage dump. They would burn them with the trash. And I'm sure that that's one of the things that just filled her with fear and disappointment and deepened the depth of her despair. She sticks her head in. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to, Peter and John, I guess I'd better go see Peter and John. And so she goes and she tells Peter and John, he's gone, they've taken him, I don't know where he's at. He's gone. What could they have possibly done with him? And Peter and John begin their trek to the tomb. And John runs on ahead of Peter and he stoops down and he looks and he doesn't go inside, but he just kind of stoops in there. You know, that's kind of hallowed ground. And he kind of looks in there, and he sees the claws, but he doesn't see the body. And in my mind's eye, I see Peter coming up and don't be a coward and pushing him to the side and going on in, you know. It's the way Peter was. And he goes in and he sees the linens lying there. And he sees the one that had encased the face rolled up, lying over there. He's going, I don't understand. I don't get it. What's happened? So John musters the courage and he steps inside. And he sees the linens. And he sees the face cloth. They're empty. And faith wells up in the heart of John. And the passage that we read says, and he believed. It was one of those life-changing moments when he goes, I get it. I understand. I understand. He is risen. He told us, go ahead, try to tear down this temple. I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Friday, Saturday, this is Sunday. He did it. Peter just goes home. Peter doesn't quite grasp the whole concept. So he just goes home. Coming up and standing outside the tomb is Mary. She's weeping. She musters up what it takes to step inside the tomb. And she steps in, and as she steps in, there's an angel at the head where Jesus had laid his head, had his head laid. And there's an angel at the feet where Jesus had his feet placed on that cold stone slab. And they're shining with the glory and the brightness of heaven as the angelic creatures that they are. And they say, Mary, why are you weeping? Where have they taken them? Imagine you're a gardener of some kind or something. Where have you taken him? And unbeknownst to her, standing right behind her is Jesus. And it's kind of one of these things that she turns around and kind of bumps into him, you know? And supposing him to be the garden, she says, where have you taken him? What have you done? He goes, Mary, why are you weeping? Woman, why are you weeping? What are you looking for? The body of my Lord is gone. He's gone. If you've taken him somewhere, tell me where so I can go and get him. And I'll do what's proper. Jesus looks at her and says, Mary. And I love the fact that as you read the scripture, there's, as he says Mary, there's this little thing at the end of her name called an exclamation point. That means it's done with emphasis. Mary! Rabboni? Teacher? Is it really you? Mary, let go. I haven't ascended yet to the Father. I want you to go see the boys. Tell them that I'm ascended. And I'm going to the Father, their God, and my God. Mary, why are you weeping? I told you what was going to happen. Mary, why the tears? The tears of grief, not tears of joy. But there isn't any doubt in my mind that in that moment of recognition, in that moment when she finally gets it, in that moment when Jesus emphasizes her name, Mary, in that moment when she goes, Rabboni, in that moment, all of her fears are gone. All of her grief dissipates. In that moment, just as when breath re-entered the body of the Christ and he sprung forth from the cradle of death, when he sprung forth from that into life, Mary as well sprung forth from a deadness into faith, into confidence, into trust. This is my Lord. What an amazing moment. Mary, why are you weeping? What are you looking for? And the tears of depression turn to the joy of expression. Rabboni. Rabboni. It's you. Have you had that moment in your life yet? Have you had that moment where you realize he is not dead, for he has risen? Have you had that moment when you're able to look at him face to face and say, my Savior and my God? Have you had that aha moment? If not, why not now? What holds you back? And you see, if you're not being faithful to Jesus, you haven't had that moment. You need to settle that. Jesus promised that he would rise again, and he did. Jesus has promised that he's coming again, and he will. But the Bible tells us he's only coming for those who love his appearing. He's not coming for everybody. He's coming for those who are sold out to him. Not those who are sold out to the world. Who is your God? We can celebrate because of the glory and the power of the resurrected Christ. We can celebrate because he is who he declared he is. We can celebrate because he lives. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Hell could not destroy him, because the Father was watching over. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. because he lives, we can have that inner peace and joy in spite of what's taking place in this world. Because he lives, we are people of hope. Would you please stand? Take your hymnals.